we crossed the border, we had no power. I think we've a bit of power now.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hello, and you're very welcome along to the latest episode of Warriors, the GA podcast for you, the 42 members. I'm Fintan O'Toole, and this week I'm chatting to Ronan Curran, the Cork hurler that was such a key figure for their senior side during the 2000s era. So Ronan won senior All-Ireland hurling medals in 2004 and 2005 for Cork and played in four All-Ireland senior finals during his career. On an individual level, he was one of the best centre-backs in the game at this time, winning All-Star awards in 2003, 2004 and 2006. So that establishes his hurling credentials. And of course, he was also a regular for his club, St Finbarr's, and played colleges hurling with CIT. So we're going to chat about all those teams as Ronan picks the three favourite games from his hurling career. And there's lots of interesting topics as well, like the pressure that can come in sport when your club has such a rich tradition. He talks about the Kilkenny-Cork rivalry of the 2000s. Ronan would have played in college with guys like Jackie Tyrrell and Aidan Fogarty, so he's got some really good insight there. And then we look at the start of his own career in taking over from Brian Corcoran and making that Cork centre-back spot his own. Let's get on with it then. This is episode 20 of the Warriors podcast with Cork's Ronan Curran. So Ronan Curran joins us today on the Warriors podcast for this latest episode. Ronan, how did you find the trip down memory lane to pick the three games, favourite games from your GA career?
Yeah, it was interesting when you asked me. I suppose straight away I thought of the different teams I played with, and I decided to go with one club one, one college one, and one inter-county one. It was harder to find a club one because we didn't win any senior counties, so that was a bit tougher, but there was one memorable one from the minor grade, so when I look back at it and the names involved, it was very interesting. So yeah, it was interesting to remember the games and some of the hardships as well we went through and stuff like that, so yeah, it was good.
So that club game you're referring to is the 1987 county minor final that you've chosen. Yeah. I suppose your club, St Finbarr's, I mean, you're growing up at a time when they're incredibly successful. Like, do you have many memories of the 80s when, you know, they're winning county titles for fun in both football and hurling?
I don't have that much, really. Obviously, I would have watched all the videos back in the day and stuff like that. But I suppose I grew up and I'm more first generation Bears. So, like, I would have only been coming into the club, whereas other fellas of my era would have had fathers and grandfathers that played with the club, and obviously there's a massive tradition there. And I suppose we lived off the 80s for years, like those glory days. And I suppose maybe we left it slip a bit after that, and that's unfortunately my generation, where we didn't get over the line in any county. I didn't get to play in any county final, unfortunately, which is a hard one to take, I suppose, for myself and my friends who grew up in the club. But that's not to say we didn't battle hard and try every day we went out and tried to get there. I think really you could have lost 9 or 10 semi-finals, which is an absolute disaster when you look back at it. But I suppose that minor final was special, all right.
When you talk about kind of the, I suppose, the ambition of you yourself and your kind of contemporaries when it comes to the senior grade, is it an element of trying to live up to the tradition that's been set before you? Like, are you always kind of conscious, even starting out, when you refer to this minor county final, like, you know, the names around the club, the fellas that you're seeing in training, does that always kind of live with you from a very young age?
It does, really, I suppose. And like, we had a lot of those big names training us, you know, in the years coming up to that minor final and afterwards as well. You know, the likes of JBM, Charlie Mack, all these household names that, you know, great fellas and great clubmen, like, you know. And I suppose there's that element and that aura about some of the lads out there, and you'd always be trying to get up to their level. Like, obviously we're not going to do that, and most of us aren't going to do that and stuff, but you know, it is there, and you do look back on the great days, and sometimes that's not a great thing either, like, because tradition sometimes can get in the way of progress, you know. But but it's great to slip on that jersey, that famous blue jersey, and know what went before you, you know, and you feel a lot of pride when you put it on.
I was looking at this game when you told me that you were going to talk about it the thing that struck me is that you were playing corner forward in this game. Obviously, you kind of made your name in your career kind of further back. Was this a situation that you would have been playing a couple of years ahead of your age at this time?
Yeah, I suppose it was. I think I was 16 at the time, so it was my first year minor. I had another two after that. I suppose I was centre back with the under 16s, the under 15s and 16s before that. Niall Goulding put me in there. I was originally midfield before that. Went back to centre back. Loved it in there straight away. And I suppose I went out with the minors early, and you know, we had a strong team, like, and they'd won an under 16 county 2 years before that against Newtown as well. And you know, I suppose they were looking for a place for me, really, and I went in corner forward. I didn't know where they short or what on the night. I think it was against Piershiggs in the league game. I popped over 4 or 5 points or something like that, so I was there for the rest of the year. No, I didn't get 4 or 5 points for the rest of the year because it was my position, really. I suppose I could win the ball, but didn't know what to do with it back then, I suppose, up on the forward line. So I was maybe filling a gap back then. Like, there was a lot of good players on that team, you know, like Cahill McCarthy and John Regan and a few of them, like, you know, really good, talented players. And we put it up to a great Newtown team that day. And it was, when you look back at the names they have, it was scandalous, like, and a scandalous win. I know Jerry was injured the same day, but it was a great victory when you look back on it.
Was that the first time you would have come across Ben and Jerry? They're the two names that stand out, everything they achieved, the O'Connor twins, kind of with Newtown, and obviously you got to know them so well in Cork. But, I mean, were they... Like, this is only 2 years before Ben is actually winning an All-Ireland title in Croke Park with Cork. Like, but were they kind of known at the time around the county as the next big things?
You just kind of knew them as the twins back then. You didn't really know. You knew there was two lads coming up from Newtown that that really could play, and they played in their own way. I think it was maybe the 16 county final in Parky Ring they played the Bears. I think the Bears got the better of them that day as well, and I would have been too young, but I remember watching them. As far as I can remember, they were around midfield that day. And we just remember these two boys, and all they were doing was hand passing the ball to each other going up the pitch, like, and it was happening constantly. They did a fierce thing between them, obviously being twins, but their hurling, like, was unnatural at the time, like, but so we knew they were about. We didn't really know them as well as we got to know them, obviously, but yeah, they were fantastic from day one. And when you think of Ben winning All-Ireland 99 at that age, like, it was brilliant, like, you know, and sure, he's won games on his own for us since, like.
Like, hand passing, short passing, obviously it's widespread now in hurling. It became central to your Cork senior career. But when you were looking at that time at opposition, were you thinking, like, what are they doing?
Yeah. I suppose you were. And I suppose coming from the Bears, like, which nearly catches us at times, we're a fierce traditional club. I suppose we go back to our traditional values of when we were winning in the 80s of, you know, maybe long ball, keeping it moving. I suppose... You know, keeping the ball fast on the ground, like, and stuff like that. Whereas we're going against a Newtown team that were, I suppose, the new style. They brought it in, hand passing, moving through the line, stuff like that. A different game. And to be fair, people talk about the game we played with Cork, like, back in 2003 and 2004. We didn't play that game at all. A few of the lads played that game. I always laugh when I hear it, like, to be honest, because, like, some fellas just like running with the ball. Tom Kenny, the two O'Connors, Timmy. There was no way myself and John Gardner were running with the ball or whatever. There was no idea to play this short game, like, or anything like that. It was just some fellas liked doing it. And it gave me a breather when I could give the ball to Jerry O'Connor. I knew I had around 10 seconds to recover and gasp and get my breath. So yeah, I suppose it was the first thing. The Newtown game was different back then, but then massive success from it.
So it was kind of more of a tactic from midfield up, and as you were in the halfbacks, you know, it was kind of more the attacking interplay was the shorter hand passing and that.
I think so. I suppose there was a conscious decision to not give silly ball away, and if there was a man free, to find a man and stuff like that. Like, but you know, like, Jerry and Tom in front of us were such an outlet for the half back line. Like, people keep talking about the half back line, like, but like, we had massive help around us, like, you know, that made our job a whole lot easier. The two lads in midfield had massive engines there, and it was just, it was a pleasure to play against or play beside, because as I said, like, you battle away in the back line, you'd be well tired, you'd be beat out after, if you're doing it properly, like, and working hard for each other, and just to get a breather and to give a ball off to a midfielder, and you know he's going to kind of pass it through the lines up to Ben, up to Timmy or whatever, like, and you have a bit of breather to settle, get your defence in order and go again, like, you know, it was great.
Just to bring you back to this 97 game, to win this title, was that a big kind of an ambition to be a county champion with the Bears, or were you kind of a bit too maybe young at the time to kind of properly appreciate it?
No, it was a big ambition, but to be honest, back then we were used to winning all over the place. We had won, they had won at 16, the crew before us. We won at 16 the same year. We actually won, I think it was 4 county championships that year. The league used to go to county. We won all 4 competitions, like, so we didn't lose any game that year, hurling or football. And we had a great bunch there, you know, and it was very enjoyable. But we were just used to winning, like, so it was an ambition, but, you know, it wasn't surprising either, like, you know, and we had a great team going there. I suppose the one disappointing thing is we didn't bring enough fellas through. When you look at what Newtown brought through, what they won, what they brought through to Cork compared to what we brought through from that minor team, it's very disappointing. But on the day, like, you know, it was a great win when you look at the players they had. And I think we had Joe Brown on Ben O'Connor. Like, Joe never, I don't think, ever played senior hurling, but had a great day on Ben O'Connor that day, like, you know. And it's great to look back at that, and the fellas you grew up with and all your buddies, and we still talk about it. We beat that team, like, you know, even though obviously they had the better end of the stick going forward, but it was a great day for the club, you know.
It's kind of a strange thing about underage victories at any level. People can never really seem to appreciate them on their own, because it's always about, like, what did that team do after a minor or under 21?
Yeah, there's a bit of that to it, like, you know, and we always look back in that. But then there's a great enjoyment of it as well, because there's a bunch of players you grow up with, and, you know, I'm still great friends with most of those lads, like, you know, nearly all those lads. Obviously, fellas that drift apart in time and move on and go, maybe go elsewhere and stuff like that. But, like, we've a great core bunch in the Bears where, you know, it's great to look back at it, like, and, you know, fellas would be cleaning out their house and they'd find a programme from back in the day, and you're saying, geez, he was playing there and that fella was playing there, he was marking that man. Can you imagine that fella played with Newtown that day? And, you know, it's great looking back on those things, like, you know, and but as you say, you're always looking at, why couldn't we bring that forward as well?
So you scored a goal in this game and you play corner forward. Was that kind of one of the last games you would have played in an attack? Did you pretty much go back straight after it's the position that you became so familiar with?
Yeah, they realised after that it wasn't like I scored a goal. No, it was from 1 yard out and I kicked it in, like, so it was more a football effort, to be honest. And I don't think I lasted the full game either. So I was taken off with a few minutes to go. But yeah, that was it, I'd say. I was only filling the gap then. I was back to the backs after that, back to centre-back. I don't think I ever went out of centre-back. I might have went onto the wing for an odd few games and stuff like that. But yeah, it was back to where I was most comfortable. The worst thing out of that was we were playing schools after that with Spridnave. And of course, they saw I was corner forward that, so they threw me in full forward in the schools, and they only realised halfway through that I was back. So it kind of went on for a while. But yeah, I wasn't comfortable up there at all. Played a bit in senior towards the end of my career, right, and kind of enjoyed it then, because I suppose I was just, you know, more mature, more used to what I had to do and stuff like that. But probably just didn't get long enough up there.
So the next two selections then are, I suppose, games where you played in that more familiar position. You were kind of back facing the ball at number 6. What's the first one that you've gone for?
The CIT UCC game in 2003, I suppose. You know, we'd a good old team. It's like the other one, when you look back in the names that played in this game, it's gas. But CIT had never beaten UCC, and it was a hard thing for CIT men to take, like, you know. And UCC, obviously, fantastic college, like, and great players going through for years. But it was a bugbear of all of us up in CIT. And we had a good bunch coming through. We had a lot of Cork under-21s, a few Kilkenny under-21s. We felt we had a good chance that year, and I was captain of the team on the same year. So it was a brilliant victory, you know, and we beat them well on the same day, and it was down to Mardyke, like, so there was a lot of nostalgia to it, there was a lot of history to it, and I don't think we beat them since either, like, so it was a great day out for us.
You mentioned those Cork guys, so, like, this is 2003, I was looking at the names. I mean, Cork won the Minor All-Ireland in 2001, you want to know what guys kind of do after minor level. I mean, Martin Coleman, Kieran Fraggy Murphy, John Gardner, and then I think Brian Murphy would have been there the year before. So just on Cork alone, there's a lot of kind of guys that you were involved with then that went on to become big household names.
Yeah, we did. We had a lot of them there, and we kind of knew they were coming as well, like, you know, because they were really solid guys and good players. And yeah, a lot of talent there. Like Martin was obviously a brilliant keeper in his day, like, you know, very solid character. Brian Murphy would man mark any man, as we saw for years. Like he did it since minor. I remember in under 21 games against Tipperary with Cork, he was marking Owen Kelly all the time. Was well able for him. Like Owen Kelly, probably the best player I've ever seen. Like, and Brian would mark him day in, day out, like, and do well in him. Obviously Owen's going to get a few scores, but that was the level of that man. Like John Gardner, brilliant halfback, minor captain, I think, or no, not minor captain, minor centre back in the day. But we had a lot of other fellas as well that were kind of thereabouts. You know, Vincey Hurley was kind of in with the Cork Intermediates, nearly in with the seniors at that time. Gavin McCarthy, I think, was there and played in the Munster final, played in that famous 2004 Munster final. And then we had a sprinkling of Kilkenny fellas that became household names as well, and Jackie Turrell inside in fullback, and Taggy up in the forward line. You know, they were different characters back then, though, to be fair. They weren't the machines they were with Kilkenny, but they were still brilliant hurlers. But yeah, we had a great bunch, like, you know, really good bunch there.
That Kilkenny factor is really interesting, because I suppose later that year Cork play Kilkenny in the other in the final, and that start of like the biggest hurling rivalry that takes over the country. And I suppose this is the interesting thing about this competition, that you get to play with each other. And like Tommy Walsh was on the UCC side that day. I mean, obviously you're trying to take the heads off each other on the inter-county stage, but what was it like playing in the same defence as Jackie Turrell?
I loved it, to be fair. He was, like, as I said, he wasn't the same character as he was when he started with Kilkenny, or when he, I suppose, 2006, when he took over as one of the best cornerbacks to play the game, and fitness and the machine, like, whatever. He enjoyed his college days. Like, you know, he wasn't a stranger to Jackie Lennox's up above. But what a hurler. You could see it straight away. Like, and, you know, I was out centre back and he was behind me, and you knew, like, when the ball went in, he was coming out hard with it, like, you know. And yeah, just a very intelligent hurler, like, and you could see it from day one. And a lovely fella. We still get on, like, you know, gone for games of golf, we'd meet up, we'd text an odd time, like, you know. And he's a great guy, great hurler. And Taggy was the same. Taggy was unbelievable in college. Like, he hadn't really made the Kilkenny set up in 2003. He was kind of on the verge of it or whatever. But then towards the end of it, like, you know, he became an unbelievable hurler with Kilkenny. And he was very, very hard worker and very hard fella to mark. I'm actually not sure if he was on Tommy Walsh that day. Or I think it was Fraggy was on him. And, like, Fraggy was obviously brilliant early, but Tommy Walsh, you know, came out with balls. Like, and he went out wing back and then he went up half forward. And man was a magnet to the ball that day, like, you know. And and he was a magnet to the ball all his life, really, to be fair. Like, so it was great when you look at it and look at names. An interesting thing about that final, actually, as well, is I was captain of CIT, and my first cousin Luke Mannix was actually captain of UCC. So it was a nice little thing there as well for as well as our family. Like, you know, Luke Mannix was a fantastic hurler, played Cork minor, Cork under 21, won All-Irelands there. And he had problems with his knee after, but he, you know, he was a brilliant player, and it was nice to go up for the whole handshake and the whole lot at the start of the game. It was a nice touch, you know.
The kind of Cork-Kilkenny rivalry, obviously, you know, it commanded so much attention kind of later, but like the kind of bond that you developed, like, did that never kind of go? I mean, I know, for example, Tommy Walsh has always talked about how UCC played a big role in helping, and he kind of talks about the irony of that he owes a lot to Cork, he thinks, he says, for his kind of maybe hurling prowess initially.
Yeah, actually, Tommy actually came over training in the Bears, actually, as well, when he was down in college. I think he came over for 2 weeks, and he was obviously very small back then or whatever, like, and he came over, and we'd heard he was a good player, but the coach didn't have any idea, and he turned up in a Kilkenny jersey, and the coach was like, oh, look at DJ Carey, yeah, who do you think you are, kind of stuff. And little did he know, he'd turn out probably to be one of the best defenders, if not the best defender that ever played, you know. But yeah, it was a great rivalry there, like, you know, between CIT and UCC, and also then the Kilkenny lads. Like it's talked up a lot, but as individuals, a lot of us got on, you know. There was no better. It was more the whole our regime and their regime was kind of miles apart at the time, like, and obviously we had gone through a lot of stuff. And maybe they didn't agree with it and stuff like that. But that was nearly as a group, as individuals. I think a lot of us got on, like, I know I got on with Henry and Martin Comerford, Jackie, Taggy, like, you know, and I would have met him through the years, and we always would have got on, like, and stuff like that, like, you know. But obviously there'd be individual ones that, like, you might have a tussle in a game and stuff like that, or you have to play hard against the fella and stuff like that, and you'll always have that. But at times I think it's maybe overwritten, you know, like, you know, there's a bit too much into it, like. But like, they were obviously a fantastic team, but at the time we were going well as well, and maybe should have got a bit more out of our side of things, whereas they went on and won all around them.
So, like, we've a lot of big names on the pitch for this college's game. Like, I think John Myler would have been coaching CIT at the time. I mean, it's a competition that it's kind of getting squeezed now, I suppose. Obviously there's a lot more pressures and kind of demands for players, but like, when you look back, how important was it for you in kind of developing your hurling career?
Yeah, massive in development. And I say that to a lot of fellas, like, it's the closest thing to inter-county hurling you can get. It practically is inter-county hurling, and it brings players on massively because it's hard, it's tough, it's in the winter months, and you really know which fellas, then you look at it and you kind of see which fellas are going to come out of it. Like, it's a pity at the moment it's been kind of squeezed by the inter-county side of things, and because it's a great competition, brings fellas through, and you know, without that competition, I feel that I mightn't have made it to where I kind of got to afterwards, because you know, after playing in it and after marking some of the top fellas in Ireland, that geez, maybe I'm able for this, you know. Maybe it's definitely a brilliant stepping stone into inter-county hurling, you know.
So there's a link here, I guess, through your third selection. You were obviously playing for CIT in this game. Tom Kenny was playing on the UCC side. And then when you played the final against WIT, Setanto Halpine was playing in those colours. And then the three of you all made your debuts that summer in your third match you want to talk about.
I suppose after the UCC game, it was such a big one for us. I remember John Myler stood in between us in the end, and he couldn't talk. He broke down. Like, it was such an emotional win. Maybe we celebrated a bit too much after it. We had no cup, but we had to get over to the Star and have a few drinks while the UCC lads were there as well. So that final, maybe we didn't put enough preparation into it, and Sedanta and the boys got the better of us. Even though we could have won that, I think we were a goal down with 5-10 minutes to go, and their keeper made a great save, and we were kind of playing with the wind. But it would be a great one to win. But maybe our preparation, maybe our final was the semi-final that day, because we had to rub it in a small bit, like.
So at least the semi-final memories are good to cherish from it anyway. But obviously, as you said this competition was a springboard for you. I mean, this is February 2003, and a few months later becomes your senior championship debut, which is the third game you're going to talk about.
Yeah, I suppose first game is always special for every player. My first game with Cork, I suppose you've a sprinkling of different feelings going into it. You're kind of worried, you're kind of uptight, you're wondering if you're actually good enough for this level. I suppose the league games had gone fairly well for me, and you know, I always believed I was good enough to make it, but you still wouldn't be sure, like, until you play that championship day, because they talk about the pace, you know, Munster hurling, how hard it is, and championship is a massive step up. But in the league, I was happy with my performances, and I suppose the big thing I went back to in the league was that I actually marked Henry Shefflin in the league game, and I actually did well on him. And I was saying to myself, geez, if you do well on Henry Shefflin, surely you're good enough, surely to step up to championship mightn't be as big as I thought, like, and I might be able for it. So I kind of kept going back to that, saying, look, if you can deal with Shefflin on one day, you're good enough and you can make it, like. But going into it, I suppose there was a lot of worry around the place, that we'd gone through a lot the last few years, a lot of beatings, a new team, as you said, myself, Tom and Satanta started, I think the year before maybe Niall and John had started, so there wasn't much expectation. I think Clare had beaten Tipperary by, geez, I'd say 9 or 10 points in the game before, and they were in the All-Ireland final the year before, so I'd say a lot of people were expecting us to go down that day, and turned into an unbelievable day for us, you know. And I suppose, the start of, you know, a good few years after that.
So was that league your first kind of taste of senior hurling, or had you been kind of maybe on the fringes of it and had a couple of tryouts maybe seasons before that?
I was actually on the panel since 2000. Fellas might know that. Jimmy Barry Murphy actually brought me in 2000. And I think I got all of 1.5 games all the way to 2003, which was a bit of a bugbear of mine. I was a bit disappointed with it. I don't know if I was ready, to be honest. But at the time, I suppose I thought I was. Looking back on it, maybe it was the best thing that happened. But I always remember Johnny Brown from Blackrock. You know, there'd be always the Bears Blackrock banter going on. And he was centre back the year before, and John never played centre back. Like, and he used to be mocking me that he was the Black Rock's fifth choice centre back, and he could get on in front of the Bears' first choice centre back. So I was getting a bit of stick for it as well. So yeah, there was a few hard years there. I think the one game I maybe started was Derry or something like that. You know, so I was there for a while, all right. And you know, going into that game, as I said, I thought I was good enough, but I didn't know. The one worry I had was, I suppose the one thing I worried about all of my career, I suppose, was pace. I wasn't the fastest of fellas. I used to try and judge where to go and stuff like that, like, and be in the right place in the right time. But I always used to, and Jackie probably was the same, going back to Jackie, and I heard him say it before, you'd be worried. He said, always said he'd be worried when Ben O'Connor came on pace up in the big stage. I was equally as worried. Like, you know, I was marking Tony Griffin that day, and we marked each other in the minor final back in 98, I think it was. And I was actually cornerback that day, not my spot, especially on a pacey corner forward. And Tony took me to the cleaners. I don't know how I survived the game. I switched on to the other corner and just made it through the game. And lucky enough, then I went out centre-back after that. So we were playing centre-back and centre-forward in that game instead of corner-back and corner-forward. But I was still worried about the man's pace. So I wasn't sure until the day, you know.
I'd say that can be a difficult thing maybe when you don't get the chance straight away. Like you mentioned John Gardner there. I mean, he went straight from minor 01 winner to 02. I think he was actually maybe wing-back or centre-back in 02. But it doesn't happen straight away for some guys. Yeah. So you need a bit of patience, like you say, to stick with it.
Yeah, I suppose, it's great when it happens straight away, but then you're in the situation, you have to get a good start, like, because if you don't get a good start, that can dent your confidence, you know. So I'm happy for those few years. I suppose in college as well, I had a few injuries as well that kind of cost me. I actually had a thing, shin splints, that kind of kept me out for nearly a year and a half. And I was kind of playing some games and then couldn't play other games. So that kind of hurt my development back then as well. But I was happy of it because I suppose in those days, in 2000, 2001, and 2002, Cork weren't going great, like, you know. So I was probably ended up being better off being sprung in 2003 and stuff like that. And it helped me that way. But like, it's very hard when you're sitting on the bench and not getting a game. And there was times I remember that I wanted to walk, and I did try and walk in one year, I think it was in 2002, because I felt I wasn't getting the right chance. Like, and it'd get you, it really would. Like, so obviously I was lucky I stuck with it, like, you know, and good fellas around me as well, like, which always helps.
You, obviously, your main position is centre back. When you're coming onto the panel initially, I mean, Cork have an absolute icon there in that position who you go on to play with. But I presume the Brian Corcoran factor, that very quickly became the bar. You're like, okay, I got to get up to that level.
Yeah, it was really, to be fair. Like, you know, he was a hero to all of us. But me as a centre back, like, you know, I used to go to games to watch. There was two men I used to go watch, and it was Brian Corcoran and Shawnee McMahon. And I loved the position. I loved studying the position, and there was no two better boys than those lads to play there. It was a different game back then to what it is obviously now, and even when I was kind of halfway through my career and stuff like that. But it was great being able to watch him for the years before and see what he did. And he's been such a great man as well, like, you know, as you said, we all looked up to him, like, you know. But I suppose going in at centre back is a bit daunting, you know. And in a funny way, I actually always found the wing an easier place to play, but I just loved the centre because there was so much more to do, or so much more, you were so much more involved and stuff like that. Like, you know, so I suppose it was daunting enough going in there, but I knew it was my spot, you know, like, and I suppose we kind of maybe didn't struggle over the few years beforehand, but they were looking for someone for there as well at the time, like, so it was good.
as you mentioned before, the backdrop to this couldn't have been more different. Clare coming in, they've reached the All-Ireland final in 2002. Cork, it's kind of the first player strike, and you know, some serious issues that the players had with the county board. I suppose you probably weren't really involved in that as much, were you?
So I was there, you see. I obviously wouldn't have been involved much, like being a young fellow, whatever, but I did kind of go through and witness it that kind of way, like, you know, so I was aware of what was happening, like, you know, it was a different time, and the change, obviously, in 2003 was massive. And that's why there was a lot of people around the place saying, like, geez, as players, we were going to say, we got to back this up now. We got to perform, like, and especially the older lads, you know, like, they were driving everything on, like, you know, and the younger lads, like, geez, we just wanted to play in 2003. We were just dying to get out there. But there was a freshness to it, you know, with Donal in as well. You could feel that it was something new, and even the training was different. He had a different approach. As you said, trying to find a man in a better place and stuff like that. But Clare was still Clare. Like, you had Colin Lynch, Shawnee McMahon, you had a lot of big names playing there. And we weren't sure. But on the day, everything went right, you know. Tom Kelly had an absolute storm or a wing back. Like, you know, Sedanta, like, I can only imagine what Sedanta would have become if he had stuck with us, like, you know, if he'd stayed around. Obviously he had a great career over as well, but geez, he could have been an absolute monster for Cork, like, for years, as his brother was, you know. So yeah, it was a daunting day, but one that turned out to be one of the best hurling days of my life, you know, just a pure enjoyment, because we could enjoy the last 10 minutes of that game. The crowd were singing The Banks up above, lovely hot day. I suppose everyone knew we were back then, like, you know, there was a feeling there's something good happening here, like.
Yeah, it's probably not too often in your career you're able to do that towards the end of a match in Semple Stadium. I mean, you were up, I think it was by 7 at half time. You won in the end 118 to 10 points. So, I mean, it was all about the start, and like you say, all the new guys, you all hit the ground running straight away.
Yeah, there was a freshness there, like, you know, like, and there was a fierce energy, and I'd say Clare didn't expect it on the day. You know, they were in the final the year before, like, they were a big, strong, tough team. Coming down to play a few young fellas involved, like, maybe they thought they could kind of bully us around a small bit, like, you know, they were an intimidating team back in the day, like, so yeah, it was all about the start and to show that we weren't to be pushed around, and we did that, and I suppose we didn't give up and everything, we backed each other up, like, you know, and, you know, if one fella was in trouble, another fella came in to tackle and stuff like that, and that's the way we tried to work the back line back then. There was no individual defending, like, you hunt in packs, you back up your man, someone else will get your man. Maybe something that's kind of lost these days, the defending seems to be big score. I think we gave away 10 points in that game. I don't think we shipped more than 14 points that year, like you know. So defending was, obviously Donal had a big saying in that, like, you know, like, playing as a unit, and hooking and blocking came in. We must have spent I don't know, 20 minutes a night doing hook and block, and at the start we were going, Jesus, seriously, let's under 12 stuff here, like, you know. But, you know, it came to the fore afterwards, like, you know, it came to the games, like, you know, that those last ditch tackles and stuff like that. We got a great start to that game, and the lads took over up front then, like, it was great.
Was there an element of kind of repaying the trust, you know, like, there's a new manager in, he's obviously your club mate. I don't know, was there a sense of relief afterwards, like, you know, it went well for me, and, you know, I was worth the shot, it was worth him giving me my chance?
Yeah, you'd definitely be grateful, like, you know, you would, like, you know, because straight away when he came in, he said, that's your position to lose, like, you know, like, he had me in there from the first challenge game on, and I got great experience in there, and there is a bit of that, but, like, there's selfishness when you're there in your first game as well. You want to get through it, you want to play well, you want to establish yourself. So it's a lot of relief, really, to be fair. Like, some people might bluff it, but there's a lot of fear in intercounty hurling. Like, you're out there in a big stage, television, obviously, 40,000 at it, like, you know, and you're there. You could be taken to the cleaners by any one of those players, because every player on that pitch can play hurling, especially with a fellow with Tony Griffin and speed like that. So there is a bit of selfishness, and you're delighted to make it through the game and say, right, I'm ready for this now going forward, you know.
Like, I'm thinking there might be a small bit of element of regret stemming from this game, in the sense that, you know, the way Sedanta played for so many of you, this was the start of your big long careers, but I think he was so good that day, kind of really captured the imagination, got 3 points in play. That was the start of his big summer. And then he was gone and he didn't feature again.
Yeah, he was incredible, like, because he kind of came out of nowhere, you know. He was good minor, like, you know, he had the attributes, but he wasn't brilliant or anything. He wasn't a star in minor. But it was just, even at the start of that year, I don't think he was getting his game. He was coming on for 10, 15 minutes, the stuff like that in league games. But from the championship, like, you know, he was just, his aggression, his attitude, his whole flamboyancy, I suppose, like, you know, was unbelievable, a great outlet. Like, and like, he was brilliant in the Munster Championship, but it really came to the fore actually in the All-Ireland semi-final against Wexford, where he dragged us through a semi-final. I thought that we were there to lose and be caught with, like, our first game in Croke Park. But yeah, you can only imagine if he actually was around and Corcoran had gone back, you'd have a nice two lads up in front, and for someone, for Ben or Fraggy or whoever to lay off him, or Joe or whatever, like, you know, it would have been a nice threat up there. Like, you know, he was definitely lost, but we lost some other great players as well, and Tomás O'Leary as well was another fellow who would have made it as well, like, you know. So yeah, it happens, I suppose it happens in every county.
You still didn't do too bad with them though. This Clare game in 2003, I mean, it's the start of, like, you win the Munster that year, 4 All-Ireland finals in a row, you win 2. I think it's easy to understand why you've picked this, that it's the start of a really, really special, amazing run, which probably you wouldn't have known at the time what was to follow.
Yeah, I suppose you wouldn't. You knew you could challenge and stuff like that. Like, but we had a great run of it. For those 4 years especially, I suppose it's always a regret you didn't do the 3 in a row, because that was always the talks, like, you know, and I suppose not coming up to the final and stuff like that, but to lose each final either side by narrow enough margins, like, especially 2003, I thought it was maybe a bit of inexperience caught us that year, you know. But that was the start of it, 2003, I suppose, the Clare game. And as you said, you can enjoy it in the end of the game as well, and there was a sense of, yeah, you said relief, yeah, but it's just the happiness of winning it and walking through that place in Turles. Whereas in an All-Ireland final, it's a bit different. Like, you're expecting this big, big celebration and stuff like that. But I just think the excitement at the end of that 2003 first game, just the feeling of the fans and the amazement of it, like, and I suppose the shock of it, like, was a lot different to the All-Irelands we won, because people were nearly expecting it. So there was just a different feeling about it, like, you know. And yeah, that 2003 game was the start of a good ride, like, you know, there's no doubt.
So that was Ronan Curran on the Warriors podcast today. A big thanks to him for his time and contribution. And a big thanks to you, the 42 members, as always, for your support and listening. Really hope you enjoyed that chat. Thanks as well to our producer, Kevin Branigan, for putting all this together. Please do feel free to get onto us if you've ideas for future podcasts. You can email sport@the42.ie or tweet us @warriors_GAA or @FOTool13. We'll be back next week with another guest. Until then, take care.
They compare throne to the British Army. Once we crossed the border, we had no power. I think we've a better power now.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.